Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Power of Love Radio Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Power of Love, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. I am TJ Jackson, and with me I have two of my brothers, the only two I know.
I was going to say, do you have more brothers? Yeah.
Maybe you guys don't know yet. Do you guys want to say hello?
Hello. What's up? Can you say our names?
Sure, why not? Taj and Taro.
Yeah. All right.
What's going on, you guys?
What's going on, TJ Jackson?
How you doing?
I'm a little tired.
Yeah, you look
Taro's
tired.
A little tired, I'm tired. I'm trying not to catch the vibe that he has.
No, I'm all right. I'm ready to go, though.
I had some coffee, and I'm ready.
Good. All right, we're live on the Power of Love radio show, so if you're listening to us right now, thank you. Thank you for joining us. Later on in the show, we will take phone calls. We are going to open up the phone lines today. The phone number to call and contribute to our show is 323-203-0815. Again, it's 323-203-0815. You can always comment or have a question or anything pertaining to our topic or just anything. You can always reach out to our Twitter. Our social media stuff is up and running, as always, and Taj is on the lookout to see if there's any great contributors. But to reach us on Twitter, make sure you tweet us at
DDJ Foundation.
The letters DDJ and the word foundation. That's pretty simple, right?
Yeah.
Cool. Taro.
What's up?
You want to do the disclaimer?
Nope.
All right. Todd, do you want to do the disclaimer?
Nope.
What do I have you guys here for? I swear.
I don't do the disclaimer.
All right. We are not licensed therapists. We are just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it. We've learned from it. And we want to share our opinions and what we've learned from it to you, to help you overcome or get through any situation you're dealing with. That's pretty much it. I think society does a job. The people in society, all of us, tend to isolate ourselves and not really talk about loss, but we're trying to reverse that trend and trying to speak and to contribute and help us all get comfortable talking about it. As we always say, loss is part of life, and the better we can understand it, the better we can grasp it and learn from it, the better off we will be. Saying that, if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Do not rely on us. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, cool. Let's start with the weekly rundown. How was your week, Terrell?
My week was fine. A little baseball. I think we lost again. No. I think we won. Who did we play last?
I don't know. Who did you play? Last.
I think we won. We did win. We won.
Okay, so you won.
We won. We beat the last place. It was the battle for last.
Good.
So we're not in last place.
Well, that's always good, right?
Yeah. I guess so. But all teams make the playoffs, so we have a shot.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you're going to keep us posted with how your team does.
Yeah.
What
still
else?
Still have a shot.
How else was your week?
Good.
Anything other else going on?
Not necessarily. Music, and then Bryce had school play.
Yeah, I saw that. It was really cool.
It was pretty
cool. I saw your on Instagram.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was the Beatles. It was called Get Back, and all the kids sang a song, and it was really, really cute in the beginning, and then it seemed to get a little bit long.
So were all the performance Beatles performances?
Yeah, they were all Beatles songs.
Oh, that's cool.
But it was really good. It was fun.
Yeah, it looked really good. Good idea. Do they always do the Beatles every year?
I don't know. It was the first time I've seen it.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah, it was good. It was good.
He did good, too.
Yeah, he was all right. He was shy at the beginning, and then...
He broke out a bit.
Yeah, he broke out a little bit.
All right, cool.
It was good.
Taj Jackson.
Yes.
How was your week?
It's good. That's it.
That's it?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah, I mean, I saw
That's all you got?
What'd you think?
This is interesting.
Oh, is that the movie you saw yesterday? Was it last night?
Did you like the first one?
Prometheus?
Yeah.
Well, or, yeah.
Yeah, Prometheus.
Jeez, I'm so far back. You don't watch like those it. Movies, do yeah. you, TJ?
I don't, but I saw Prometheus a couple days before.
Man, what was the one where they brought everybody back?
I'm such a Ridley Scott fan, too.
I don't even know who the girl is in that, the aliens.
Sigourney Weaver?
Yeah, she's not in any of
yeah, but they brought her back one year, didn't they?
That was like 10 years ago.
Yeah, that's the last one I remember. Now, how many have they had since then?
Two,
yeah. These are like prequels.
Yeah, it's confusing.
She's not
but
born yet.
I liked Prometheus. And then I went to go see Covenant, but I didn't make it through. So I can't really comment on it, but from what I heard, it's good.
It's a return. It's like a mixture of Alien and Prometheus.
Okay.
It's better.
All right.
That's all I'm going to say.
Anything else in your week?
Not that I remember.
Okay. I don't really remember my week at all either.
Yeah.
So, sorry, I don't have anything to contribute.
Oh, your daughter lost two teeth, I saw.
Yes. That was yesterday.
Well,
thank
I
you, Tara.
I have to help you. Look. Jeez.
Natural, or did you do the door slam?
No, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
That's not my style.
That's my style.
No, she showed me the morning that she was losing it, and the next thing you know, she lost two teeth. She pulled the second one out.
So how much did the tooth fairy get?
You know,
because I know how cheap you are. What was it, a penny this time?
No, Taj, inflation something else. She got $10.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she got $5 per tooth. And Francis wanted to give $10.
Yeah.
And I said, are you serious? I got like a dollar or two per tooth. And she yeah. said the two front teeth are the big ones.
Oh,
so they
yeah.
get more. So she probably
has so many.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
That is very cute.
So, yeah, she's loving it, though. She's smiling and talking to anyone she can. It's pretty funny.
Wow.
All right. So I think the main thing... Taj, what words are we watching out for you? You know, right?
Huh?
You know? You know?
Oh, I guess.
And what's mine?
I totally forgot that.
Mine is It's terrible.
I don't know. I'm sure they'll let us
know. You don't know what we're talking about?
The words that we say a lot.
That you guys say a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're cleaning that
up. Well, I can tell you what Taj says a lot.
You know.
You know.
Yeah, so Taj, watch your you knows, and I'll watch my us.
I'll try.
So, what we're going to talk about, though, was the big news of the week for the whole world. On Monday, there was a horrible incident in Manchester that claimed the lives of 22 innocent people and injured many, many, many more. And first of all, my brothers and I, as well as our entire family, want to give love to everyone out there in Manchester who's dealing with it. And it's not easy, and we wish we could help in more ways, but we want you to know we're all here supporting you and with you. Saying that, you guys, it's so tough. It's an incredibly tough thing. And I think what makes there's always, not always, but there's a lot of incidents where there's, you know, terrorist attacks that you hear throughout the world. But I think what makes this one doubly tough for us is that it happened in an environment where it's supposed to be incredibly festive and joy time and you know, it's a concert, you know, and that was one thing. And the second thing was that it was a concert of a young star where there was a lot of kids at, and it's just it's incredibly heartbreaking, and it's just really sad. And I don't know, I just want to make sure we send our love and do it gracefully and make sure everyone knows we are here supporting you.
That's it's really sad. There's so many different levels that it's going to affect people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just the music, hearing her music now there's going to be a lot of triggers, and there's going to be so much healing needed. Even for the survivors.
Yeah.
You know, just being in a crowd, just anything like that is going to be difficult now for them, I would assume. And just, it's so sad that I saw a picture of this little girl. I think she was 7, you know, and she lost her life. And it's like there's so many people that were looking forward to going to see her perform, Ariana Grande. And to have that happen, you know, the way that it did, and the outcome of it all is just really, it's terrible.
Yeah. You know, and it's incredibly terrible, and it's sad, and I think you hit something on the head, which I think a lot of media doesn't really talk about, a lot of people don't talk about, is the triggers that they're going to have to deal with now, being in crowds, like you said, or if they hear an Ariana Grande song in the mall, or it's going to put them right back to that situation. Mm-hmm. And that's not easy to deal with. That's tough. And I think, which brings me to another thing I actually thought about earlier today. I think we as society, we don't do a good enough job understanding that and making that known. That, you know, because I was watching Live and Kelly and Ryan. First of all, I mean, I don't watch that show. That's not like my favorite show. I love Good Morning America, and that follows it. So I usually watch the
there's
beginning.
Nothing wrong with watching Live with Kelly and Ryan.
There's nothing wrong with it. It's just I like The View more. I like, you know, Whoopi and Company more. Yeah. I just never was a big Live and Kelly fan. I'm just telling
you. It's okay if you like Kelly.
No.
I'm trying to make a point or something.
Yeah, not trying to make, I don't know. That show's not that great. Okay. But anyway. I mean,
Cool. What's the point?
The point was I heard Ryan, and obviously they're both very graceful and understanding and sympathetic, but I heard Ryan say, and he didn't mean any harm by it, but it bothered me a bit because he said, like, I may be paraphrasing, but he basically said something about how we're going to survive this, and, you know, it's not going to change anything. And I understand the point he was making. He was basically saying us as humans, and we're going to be strong. And, you know, it's like with the Boston Marathon. It was Boston Pride or Boston Strong. Mm-hmm. I get what he's saying. It's just if I'm in the inside,
right,
you may survive it, but I may not. You know what I mean? And I always go to the victim. Probably because I've been in that shoe. So it's very innocent how it was said, and I know there was no harm needed, but I think as the media, I think we got to think a bit more on how we say that, because there are people that are going to be affected by it at a more personal level, and it's not just a news story or just an attack on humanity. It's an attack on a friend or a family member. And I think maybe it's just time. Maybe, you know, 3 months need to pass or a certain amount of time needs to pass before you say something like that. Am I wrong?
It sounds like they're overlooking.
It wasn't meant to sound like that. I got what he said. It just it can't.
See, I looked at it different. But the way you just said that, because for me, I think the word "we" is very powerful. Yeah. And I, you know, if I'm someone that has experienced something, knowing that someone else, you know, is associating with it, as opposed to you are going to survive this or whatever, we are going to survive this, makes it sound like we're all in this together. And, you know, I think sometimes feeling like isolated is even worse in a way.
Yeah. And it wasn't that. It was more like, and I don't want to say these were the words that were said, but it felt like and I had the worst memory, but something didn't settle right with me, because it was like the vibe I got was like it didn't do what they needed it to do,
right?
So it was like, you know, we're still going to move on and do this, and sure, you know, I understand the concept and I get where he's coming from. He wants to rally, like you're saying, Todd, around. But if I'm in the inside, if I had a child at that concert, it's like it's a little too soon for me. Am I wrong?
I know what you're saying.
The show,
it's almost like for those people,
exactly,
they succeed.
But if no one says anything, then it's like no one cares either. That's the thing too. Like if it, you know, just said you know again. But I feel that because I'm not. From what I've been watching some of the like celebrity tweets and stuff like that as well, and this world is like you get in trouble whether you do one thing or the other. You respond too quickly, and it seems like you're just trying to hop on the bandwagon. You respond too late, and it's like you don't care. I tweeted something yesterday, and it was hard for me to tweet, but I felt like if I didn't tweet, people would think that it didn't bother me, and that's the thing, and especially with the love that I have for the UK in general.
Yeah.
And so it was almost one of those things that it was painful, but it was like I wanted people to know that I did. I was there, like I support them.
Yeah.
But see, that's the thing. Like, someone else might say, well, you know, how do you...
And it's not Ryan Seacrest's fault.
Yeah.
And it's really not. I just think it's the way our society... And he's 100% meaning well.
Yeah.
I just think coming from a victim perspective, it may be too soon to kind of brush it off or say, you didn't succeed. You didn't win.
Right.
You didn't get what you needed to get done. We're good.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of vibe. And those aren't the words he said, but that's the vibe I got. Mm-hmm. And the crowd was clapping, you know? And it's not just him, and I'm sure it happened on a lot of talk shows. And that vibe of that talk show is very open and conversational, and I just feel like there needs to be a bit more care because you never know.
That's a tough one.
It's a tough one.
Yeah,
but
there's a I guess there's a BBC Radio 1 big weekend like performance thing coming up, and there's a lot of artists that aren't pulling out of it.
They are not pulling.
No, and they're basically saying like we're not going to let this, you know,
mm-hmm.
the terrorist effect. You know.
See, that's okay.
You're saying a lot of you knows.
I am. See, he put it in my mind.
I'm bringing it out.
I bet you last week I said probably two you knows.
I guarantee you said more than two.
I don't know. I don't think so. But this one I've said about probably 20 in the last.
It's okay. Work on it.
It's okay.
Not all of us can, you know, kick our vices to the curb so easily. Anyways, But that's one of the topics we're going to have is the role. How should media play it? Should they be a bit more understanding to the victims, especially as soon as an attack happens, or should they? It's kind of like I think this is an inner battle that families have in general. You know, it's when you lose someone, even if it's not in this kind of way. Some people want to move on with life, and it's like. You're not grieving well enough. You know, am I making sense? No.
You're not grieving well enough?
Put it this way. If a family loses a child and the husband goes to work the next day, the wife could say, does this not affect you kind of
right.
thing? You know, so it's like different people probably recover different ways.
Right,
so.
Right.
Anyway, okay. So the other topic we're going to have, Taj, do you want to, it was your idea.
Yeah.
Do you want to explain it and describe it?
Yeah, definitely. I think.
Hey. No ums. Okay, that's my problem.
Gosh, you can give me one of the two. It's either or you know. So I got to work with one of them.
Yeah, your third one is stuff like that.
I do say that a lot.
Does he?
See, now I'm going to say it a lot because he just said that.
Let's hear it, Taj. What's the topic?
Me being older, I'm just amazed at seeing some footage of people, and these are people that aren't. This was brought up probably about a month ago when the travel ban, you know, in the U.S. They tried to do the travel ban. Why are you smiling?
Because you are doing so good, and I was going to say you're doing really well because I see you concentrating not to say you know.
I did,
and then you said you know.
It's all right.
Okay,
well, maybe we should have like a I don't want to say drinking game, but something like that.
Travel ban.
The travel ban, but. There were a lot of people fighting against it and a lot of people that it didn't affect, but they understood the struggle. And I think that, you know, looking back at like civil rights movement and seeing pictures of certain people that it wouldn't have affected their lives, but they understood the struggle and they understood how important it was. And I think that is the topic is about empathy. And empathy and the difference between empathy and sympathy. And I'll give you the definition of both, but basically empathy is the feeling that you understand and share another person's experiences and emotions, the ability to share someone else's feelings. So basically it's putting yourself in their shoes, like directly.
Okay.
Like feeling it actually. And sympathy is the feeling that you care about and are sorry about someone else's trouble, grief, or misfortune.
So to me, that kind of, the way I interpret that, the descriptions, empathy is more of an emotional connection,
yes,
to the ones who are struggling or who are going through it.
Yeah.
Where sympathy is just feeling compassion, feeling bad or sorrow for that person without really connecting. It's very close.
They're very close. I think empathy is, and this is, callers call in and if you have a better grasp of this, but empathy for me is actually putting yourself in their shoes. It's actually, I don't even want to say experiencing it, but like when we lost mom, empathy would be something where someone that had lost someone mm-hmm. is actually feels the pain that we feel in a way.
So they have to do it from an emotional standpoint.
An emotional connection, I think so, as opposed to feel bad that it happened to someone. Hmm. And the reason it was such an interesting topic to me, because I think we grew up very much in an...
Is that a dog?
It did sound like a dog. An empathetic family, you know, that really feels when something happens to the world. Our uncle Michael, would watch the news and basically would start crying if something sad was happening. And I think that is something where it's I think the world needs more of that in terms of empathy. And so I don't know. I think that if you guys have something to call in about in terms of, are you empathetic? Like, are you more sympathetic in terms of that nature? Or I don't know. I think that it's a great topic to discuss because there is a difference. But at the same time, it's feeling. And I just, that image of that, I think it was the civil rights thing, the Martin Luther King. I don't know what I was watching. But it was just those images of Caucasian people marching right along him, hand in hand. And it's like, that is such a powerful image, because without that, it probably wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't have been as effective, and vice versa.
And that's empathy.
I think that's putting yourself there, you know, as opposed to saying, oh, you know, I hope that it happens, or I hope. And a lot of people are waking up and being more empathetic in terms of they're actually taking action. You know, I think maybe that's it. Maybe empathy is taking action and actually.
Do you think so, Todd? I don't know. I don't think it's that.
Maybe sympathy. I don't know. It almost sounds like with sympathy, there's like a slight disconnect.
That's what I'm saying. And empathy, you get in there and you actually try and.
But is the question I would have is the disconnect because you haven't experienced it yourself? Because it seems like you care, you want to be there. You're compassionate. Well, you're feeling for them. You're feeling something.
Maybe because you can't really fully relate.
Correct.
You can't relate.
You know it's a bad situation, but you can't. You've never experienced it. You never had anything to do with like those situations, so you can't relate.
Like, for example, like when someone's dog dies and someone's really sad and they're crying and all that stuff, if you haven't experienced a dog in that connection, you look at that person and you're like, what? It's just an animal. But to dog lovers like us, it's like, I understand that. I get that.
And I may be wrong. I haven't studied these two terms, the differences. If there's any English majors or anyone who's listening,
please call in.
Please call us.
And educate us.
You have one right here.
But I take someone like Joe, my youngest daughter, mm-hmm. who if someone is hurt in any way, she'll feel so bad for them.
That's empathy.
But is it though? Because she hasn't experienced all the trying to pains.
But she's feeling it.
I'm thinking that's more sympathetic because she hasn't. You're saying her empathy, hurt is coming from an emotional connection.
Empathy is inside. Sympathetic is like more thinking about it in terms of like being like I understand. Like I'm. It's more brain.
I feel bad.
Like he's probably going through a lot. I feel bad for that. Empathy is actually feeling that emotion.
Here's another question. Can you feel empathy without sympathy?
No.
I think they both... There's both... you're feeling bad like your Spurs. Mm-hmm. Like, that's sympathy. Like, I'm sorry your Spurs are out of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. But I don't... You know, there's like a slight disconnect. Like, I feel bad for you, but I don't really empathize. Like, it wasn't my team. I just...
I don't know. Right, we have a call, so let's take our call and get some. Maybe we'll get some clarification.
Get some knowledge. Jinx.
Hi, who do we have on the phone with us?
Hi, this is Ebony.
What's up, Ebony? How you doing today?
Ebony.
I'm doing fine. How about you guys?
I'm doing good.
Hanging in there.
Wanted to add in on the topic about empathy and sympathy. I actually have a experience to share with that.
Let's hear it.
Right.
Okay. Well, back in July 2015, my father died from cancer, and my best friend Tiffany, she was a huge part of helping me to process it, because she had lost her mother years before. A little over 2 months later, her father passes.
Wow.
And I was pretty much the only person there with her in the hospital when she got the call. It's like, hey, come down here. Your father's in the hospital. So,
in a way, you were able to empathize.
Yes.
Because you experienced it.
Yeah.
See, and I think it's coming from an understanding perspective.
Yeah.
You have to understand how that person
feels. You're feeling what they feel.
But you have to not just feel it, you have to understand what they're going through. Because of your experiences with it. No? I really think that's what it is. I think you have to understand. Ebony, was there anything else you wanted to add?
I like that.
I love that example.
I think with me, I'd really try to empathize, even though I myself may not have experienced whatever they're going through. Because I can say I haven't, there's a lot of things I haven't gone through like some of my friends have.
Right. But I think there's some things, like let's say a friend of yours went through a divorce, and even though you haven't went through a divorce, I think you can still get to empathy by relating it to an experience where you had to end a relationship or there was a big disconnect. So it doesn't have to be exact kind of thing. It's kind of just being able to experience a similar type of thing. That's very close, right?
Yeah. I think so, because I think that's the misconception. I think people think, oh, well, you didn't go through that, so you didn't understand exactly that. I don't want to put everything on race, but people are like, you don't understand racism because you're not, a minority, and you don't get it, and it's not true. Someone might actually really be able to understand it and be not only sympathetic but empathize with it
because of a personal experience,
and it doesn't have to be just because their color of skin is not the same color that they can't understand the struggle or understand what they're going through. And I think I've seen that on social media a lot, like, oh, well, you're not this color, so you don't understand my fight or my flight. And so I think that you can put yourself in other people's shoes and really understand it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think that's cool. Cool, Ebony. Well, thank you for your phone call. Thanks for chiming in.
Thank you guys very much.
Take care of yourself, okay?
Alrighty. Bye.
I want to say something. This is kind of weird, but I'll say it anyway.
Please, Todd.
I've always... You guys are going to laugh at me. But I think, since Mom was such a strong woman, I've always been empathetic towards women and their struggles and their, being treated unfairly or being,
I just say, you can't say that like that. I think you have to say, I always sympathize for them. And if you're going to say you've always empathized, you got to tell me why how you were able to connect with them.
I think that I think as human beings, you still have a side of you that, is masculine and feminine. Mm-hmm. And I think that, there is a different chromosomes. We still have that chromosome. So I think you can empathize with a woman. I think, I don't know. I've always connected in that way. And I don't know. It's just weird for me. But
okay.
I don't think you have to be a woman to understand a woman's struggle or fight, in terms of being treated unfairly or unequal.
I think you make some good points, Sarge. Being hard on you.
I know. You're playing devil's advocate, it's okay.
Of course. Okay, who do we have on the phone with us?
Decent host does.
Hi, this is Alicia.
How are you, Alicia?
Hi, Alicia.
I'm good. I'm calling to talk about empathy and sympathy.
Yes.
Recently, my best friend's mother was diagnosed with kidney failure. And I have several illnesses myself, so I try to support her when she needs it, saying that, you know, while I understand that where both of them are coming from in a way, because I know what her mother is going through, mm-hmm. but I also see what my family and friends go through trying to take care of me. Mm-hmm. So it's more or less, I guess, I feel sympathy for her and empathy for her mother.
Yeah,
see, I guess
I think that's right on. Mm-hmm. I think if you can truly, if you're in those shoes, you can put, you understand what the other person's going through. And then if you can't really, if you're not in their shoes, then you can sympathize. And they're obviously both very important traits. They're both very strong. They both involve love and care and compassion. And so they're both great. You know, I just think there is a slight difference.
It's the connection.
Mm-hmm. Or the understanding, I think, yeah.
It's the emotional connection, basically, is what it really is. Because... I mean, there's highly emotional, sensitive people that I think they really do feel what other people are going through.
Yeah, Alicia, that's a great... Thank you for contributing, because I think that nails it on the head, in my opinion. Cool. Well, thank you so much, Alicia.
Yeah, thank you for your call. Jeez,
you're welcome.
Take care.
We're saying the same thing.
You too.
Wish you played Overwatch.
We're going to take one more call. While these guys talk about Overwatch, we're going to take another phone call. Who do we have on the line with us?
This is Maisha.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing well.
Doing well.
And I'm gonna ask you one more time. Your name?
Maisha.
Maisha. Okay. How are you, Maisha?
I'm well.
Good.
I was calling to talk about the topic of empathy versus sympathy.
Yes.
So empathy is kind of like when you're living kind of like vicariously through someone.
Mm.
And then sympathy is like having compassion.
Mm, got it.
So do you have to, in your opinion, do you have to experience what that other person's went through to be empathetic?
That's hard because in my line of business, I'm a nurse. So in my line of business, I kind of walk a fine line between that. Because I do feel empathy and sympathy.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for instance, if a person loses their loved one, like if we're going through a code situation and the person doesn't make it through the code, I'm experiencing empathy at that time. So a lot of times I'll have to walk away. Even though I'm the nurse on that case, I have to walk away because I don't want them to see me, you know, breaking down because I'm supposed to be there to support them.
Yeah.
So I have to, you know, I really... walk a fine line between empathy versus compassion because as a nurse you're not really supposed to get yourself involved. Weird, I know.
Yeah, what is the reasoning? I think I know the reasoning, but can you elaborate on why? You're not supposed
You're supposed to be a support system, and if you're there breaking down more than, you know, the family, you know, you're not basically doing your job. So you have to kind of separate that. Because your job is to be supportive. You're not supposed to get emotionally involved. You're not supposed to, but it happens all the time.
Yeah.
So.
And that can't be easy.
So an example.
That can't be easy. No, I was going to say that can't be easy because pretty much everyone, in my opinion, in the medical field, they're giving people and they're people that relate and want to help. You know, so it kind of goes against the grain, in my opinion. I understand the reasoning, but it must be difficult.
And you are who you are.
Yeah.
I mean... you know, I can't help who I am. I mean, that's probably what sets me apart from other nurses because not all nurses are like that. But that kind of sets me apart because I do feel empathy for people. As an example, Carol, I don't mean to bring you into this, but I have to. When you guys were doing your show and Carol was crying and he was sharing his story about what he was going through, I was crying with him, not only because I'm empathetic and I was feeling what he was feeling, but because I could relate to a lot of the things that he was going through. So that makes it even stronger when you can relate to that person.
Yeah.
And you may be going through, you know, the same thing, or you have gone through the same thing. So that's where empathy comes in, and you're actually feeling it in your heart.
Yeah.
You know, you're actually feeling, you know, that they're torn, that they're vulnerable at that time, that they're being raw. You feel that.
Mm.
So that's really what makes, really what sets it apart from having compassion for somebody where you're just like, oh, that's too bad, or that's so sad. It's different than when you're actually having an emotional reaction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See,
I think that's what sets it apart.
I think it's an emotional connection. If you can connect with it emotionally.
Definitely.
You know, because I think that's my opinion. But cool. Maisha, thank you so much.
Yeah, that was great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Maisha. Maisha? You still there?
She's gone.
Yes.
Oh, you're still there? No,
I'm here.
How often do you hear, like, Maisha, Maisha, so glad to meet you? Do you ever hear that?
Oh, Maisha.
I know it's Aisha. I know it.
I hear people sing Aisha, you know that song? Or they call me Moisha.
Oh, okay. Moisha. I'm just curious. I know, and I know it's Aisha Terrell. I know it's ABC, but I'm just wondering if she hears a lot. Cool name.
Yeah, they sing that to me all the time.
Do they?
Do you know what that means? Do you know what that name means, actually?
No.
Which is tied into my career.
What?
It means life.
Oh, wow. In what language?
In Swahili.
Ooh, see?
That's great.
Yeah, so that's the, you know, it's odd that my mom would name me that, and then I turn out to be a nurse.
That's beautiful.
It's not odd, but I'm just living my purpose.
There you go. Yes, you I love it, Maisha. Awesome, awesome. Thanks for the phone call.
All right, thank you.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Cool.
So, that's great. Can you have one without the other?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I actually looked that up.
Oh. Did you're doing work too? Good.
Am I doing work? Can you feel empathy without sympathy, right?
Uh-huh.
It said, even though I just lost it. Taj, were you going to say something? Because it just went out on me.
No. I'm just really excited about the calls they've been... Because it's given me a better understanding, too.
I would think you could have... If you have empathy, then you have sympathy. I don't think you can have sympathy. I don't think you can... Wait.
You could have
sympathy, but not empathy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you have empathy, you also have sympathy.
Okay, so can you feel empathy without sympathy? Empathy is understanding how others feel. You don't have to care about their predicament or feel sympathy for them to understand their plight. Sympathy is feeling sorry for someone else. Empathy would help you feel sympathy, but you may not at all understand their feelings.
Mm. And I'm officially confused.
That confused me too.
So I think it's basically, let me see if I can...
Empathy would help you feel sympathy.
Yeah, because you would...
Because if you understand what they're going through...
You're automatic sympathetic.
You probably would feel bad for them, but...
But then I don't want to hear... Empathy would help you feel sympathy, but you may not at all understand their feelings. They're thinking differently, but because you went through something, you're feeling something.
Yeah.
Is that what you're thinking, Tosh?
I'm thinking that. That's what when you first said it, that's what it sounded like.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry if I just confused everyone with that.
Yeah, that's
That when I look up empathy versus
what was
empathy.
What did they say for empathy again?
Empathy is understanding how others feel.
Okay.
You don't have to care about their predicament or feel sympathy for them to understand their plight.
Yeah.
So it's basically just understanding what they're going through.
So you would say like empathy is like when all those people are protesting or you know, the gathering or whatever, and they're not from that same area, like they're not either, you know, minority, or they're not, you know, I want to get the acronym right, you know. And he's just smiling. Terrell's just smiling now. He's not even helping at all. He's like, I'm not going to do it.
You know, sometimes you just got to know to keep it.
LGBT.
Yes,
LGBT. And I didn't look that up. I just had a degree, you know.
Well, I didn't want to get the in the wrong order.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, you still understand the plight, I think, in that way.
I don't know. I think you have to have a understanding of how they feel. I think that's the key for empathy. Go ahead.
Let me have a quick question.
Quick question, Tosh.
Hello?
Hold on, real quick, caller. Hold on. Todd wants to chime in.
But can't you be, can't, it doesn't have to be the exact same thing.
Yeah, it
because
have
you've
to
been
be
being oppressed as a minority in terms of if you felt racism, you might also understand how they feel about being oppressed as well.
Just have to have some type of connection, some type of.
I don't think you have to
relation to it.
There you go.
There you go. All right, who do we have on the phone?
Sequoia.
How are you, Sequoia?
Sequoia.
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good. What you got for us today?
Okay, I want to talk on the topic of sympathy and empathy.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Like, I am very empathetic. Like, I always say empathy means if like someone's saying, I feel your pain, and you actually feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And sympathy if someone's saying, I'm sorry for what you're going through.
Yeah.
Right.
So, but even if you don't feel, I'm sorry for what you're going through. So even though you're truly sorry, that's just sympathetic. Is that what that is? Is that,
yeah, it's like you can't actually feel the pain, but are sorry that
they're going through that. Okay.
But empathy, you can also say the same thing, but you actually feel their pain.
Mm-hmm. I think that's spot on.
And it's like, for me, I would say it's like a blessing and a curse. It's a blessing because people are more open to talk to me about their situation. If they're uncomfortable talking with someone else, it could be even like a stranger at the bus stop. I just say, how are you feeling today? And they'll tell me like their whole life story.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just say, I'm sorry what you're going through, but I actually feel their pain. And I would say it's a curse because it's like I could have had a great day. Someone tell me how bad they're feeling and walk away. And it's like their bad energy is stuck on me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sometimes hard to get rid of if you don't know how to like ground yourself or like protect yourself from that energy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying, excuse me.
I said that's very true. And I think that's the thing, you know, especially with empathetic people, they have to just be careful because you're like a sponge, you know, for good or bad energy. And so you just have to be very protective and careful for that in that way. But I think that you're right. It is a blessing and a curse. But I think at the same time, you are helping people too. You have a connection that, so.
So like, one of my teachers is a massage therapist. And she said one time she actually had a client crying on the table while she was giving her a massage. And she, even though she wanted to talk to her, ask her like what was going on, but you know, in our line of work, we can't be emotionally attached to the client. So she was like, do you need a break? Did you need a minute? And if they say no, let's keep doing the massage.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's all you can do.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you, Sequoia, for chiming in.
Yeah.
And contributing. We greatly appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Take care of yourself.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Yes, Taj.
Do you think women are more in nature to be more empathetic than men? You know, maybe we all start the same way, but because of the tough guy.
No. See, I think women have a tendency to be more sympathetic than men.
Mm.
Because I feel there's a softer side of a woman and more nurturing side. I'll give you that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's sympathy.
But they have to feel it, too.
No.
I mean, because if they're crying or if they're like emotional about, like, let's say
they have to understand, there to be a connection where they, in my opinion, some type of not experience, but an experience where they can relate, that draws them in to that empathy level.
Hmm.
I think they naturally are more sympathetic. They naturally feel bad and want to help, but we all come out of the womb and we experience different things, you know? We experience different things. I think that's pretty on par with each other for men and women.
Interesting. I don't have the answer, so
of course you don't.
Yeah, so
but that was the answer. Who do we have on the phone with us?
I disagree, but
hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi. This is Tiffany.
What's going on, Tiffany?
Nothing much. How are y'all?
We are doing good. We are doing good.
You spoke to my friend Ebony earlier, and I just wanted to say thank you to her because that was really sweet of her to share her story.
Yeah.
I wanted to chime in on the sympathy empathy debate.
Yes.
And my part of it is I found that with being a dialysis patient, I've actually kind of had to like stop being so sympathetic and empathetic with other people in dialysis. Not from being, you know, being evil. That's not in me to be evil. Mm-hmm. But basically for my own sanity, because you know, it's not a pleasant place. It's not the best place to be. There's all sort of medical emergencies and complications that can emerge. I've seen the worst that could possibly happen before my own eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like, what was her name? Maisha said, where you kind of have to physically remove yourself from the situation, or, you know, it can tear you down like it's tearing the person down that's experiencing it in real time.
Tiffany, I think you raise an incredible point. And I think you're incredibly... Well, first of all, I'll say you're brave, but I think it's really cool how you brought that up, you know, because I think it's not natural for us as humans to say I try to limit how empathetic or sympathetic I can be. But you raise a great point.
Right.
Because at one point, you can... If you just live in sympathy and empathy, you'll bring yourself down, right? And I think you got to stay strong for your own self in a sense.
Right. That's right.
Definitely
right.
That's Taj, Terrell, you guys have anything?
I just think that's trying to control the situation, which at times you do. You have to, you know, if it's profession or work or whatever, you have to, you know, draw the line at some point.
But what's incredible about, I mean, and Tiffany's one of, you know, many that have to go through situations where they have to control empathy, sympathy. We heard it from Maisha. Anyone who's going through any situation has to have a similar mm-hmm. attitude. How it's just interesting how you have to kind of go against human, mm-hmm. not human nature, but your love to be able to stay balanced. Right?
Right. Yeah, you have to draw the line. You have to...
That's interesting.
Flip the switch.
That's interesting. I mean, if I thought about it enough, I would have came to that conclusion. But I appreciate someone sharing it for their in a real life experience. You mm-hmm. know, so thank you so much, mm-hmm. Tiffany.
All right, thank you, Tiffany, for taking my call. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Take care of yourself, okay?
All right, you guys too. Love you guys.
Love you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Turia from France sent a quote from Mindfulness Wellness
mm-hmm.
About empathy. There's a thing that says at healing and be after it, so I think that might be who actually said the quote or responsible. It says empathy is seen with the eyes of others, or seen with the... Sorry, I already butchered.
Yeah, you did.
Let me start over. Empathy is seen with the eyes of another, listening with the ears of another, and feeling with the heart of another.
Mm. That's it.
Yeah, that's mindfulness, wellness.
Taj, you gave them enough credit. Hmm? Mindfulness, wellness, right? Yeah. I'm just playing with you, Taj. But no,
I want to make sure I get the resources right.
I think that's it. You know, you got to connect with it and kind of... I think there's got to be a huge emotional connection. And I don't necessarily think you have to experience exactly what that person's going through. You know, if a person loses their cousin... And you've lost your dog, and you can that dog was everything to you, your best friend, your everything. You can see what that's. You can kind of relate, you know. And mm-hmm. I think that's what empathy is. Maybe not the best example I gave, but you get the point that you don't have to. It doesn't have to be a direct link. And I think it's an important thing because I think a lot of times we butcher the terms of I sympathize with you or, you know, I empathize with you, and you may not be actually doing that. Correct?
Yeah, there's
different ways. Okay, cool. So we are, the phones are still ringing, but unfortunately we are out of time. It's 1:50 Yeah, it went by fast, huh? Mm-hmm. We are going to do some ending statements. If you're just discovering our show and want to learn more about our foundation, please make sure you go to our website, www.ddjf.org. Again, www.ddjf.org. Again, if you are, our hearts and prayers and love is with everyone in Manchester and in the UK. It's been on our mind, you know, since it's happened, and will be on our mind for a long time. And we just want to give love to everyone and, you know, encourage you to be strong and to let you know we are with you. And, you know, however we can help, please let us know. Reach out.
Exactly.
ADEC, the Association for Deaf Education and Counseling, is an international professional organization dedicated to promoting excellence and recognizing diversity in deaf education, care of the dying, grief counseling, and much more. So if you need any type of counseling or some education on dealing with a situation where you've just experienced a death, make sure you go to www.adec.org. They have a lot of content and a lot of things that can help you. And that's pretty much it, right, guys? Is there anything else I missed?
No, pretty much.
No, yeah. This was an interesting but confusing topic. But
yeah, but it brought light to me. It helped me understand because
I've always wondered.
All those terms together.
I retweeted on Twitter, too. GJ had a great tweet about, in terms of the definition of it too. So check out the Twitter our DDGF Twitter.
Cool. Well, thank you again to all our contributors, our listeners, the community. We are not going to be able to achieve such great things at DDJF without you guys and without your support. So your support means the world to us, and we really want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts. We feel that we're growing this thing and we're becoming a great asset to many out there. So we want to thank everyone who contributes and who participates and shares what DDJF is all about. All right. Until next time, we will see you next Wednesday from 1 to 3. And that is pretty much
1 to 3.
1 to 2. I'm sorry. I got ahead of myself. Sorry, Joe.
Sorry. My phone. Got to fix it.
Yeah. 1 to 2.
I'm here for.
We will see you guys next Wednesday at 1 o'clock. Take care.
Take care, guys.
Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.